This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Welcome to your Sunday liturgy. This is the program that accompanies you as you prepare for the Sunday Eucharistic celebration. After the Sunday liturgy, you can listen to our bulletin of church news that will be followed by Panorama. Then, our feature, The World Around Us, with news about our environment. I'm Father Paul Samasumo. This Sunday, we celebrate the life of the Most Holy Trinity. It should remind us of our baptism. At baptism, we entered into the life of the Trinity when we were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
The Solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity.
A reading from the book of Proverbs. Thus says the wisdom of God, the Lord possessed me, the beginning of his ways, the forerunner of his prodigies of long ago. From of old I was poured forth, at the first, before the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains or springs of water, before the mountains were settled into place, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet the earth and fields were not made, nor the first clods of the world. When the Lord established the heavens, I was there. When he marked out the vault over the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he fixed fast the foundations of the earth, when he set for the sea its limit, so that the waters should not transgress his command, then was I beside him as his craftsman, and I was his delight day by day, playing before him all the while, playing on the surface of his earth, and I found delight in the human race. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we even boast of our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The Word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with this week's Sunday Liturgy Reflection, here is Father Enobong.
Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to God who is, who was, and the God who is to come. This Sunday we acclaim the Triune God, in whose name we are baptized as members of the body of Christ. This Sunday we celebrate the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, a day we commemorate the bond of love that exists between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This bond is expressed in God's love for humanity, and it is the very essence of our communion with God. Our faith in the Triune God is a product of this love, which was manifested in a concrete way through the incarnation of Jesus Christ, who revealed to us the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit. This faith is not only to be professed, but it is also to be lived, and by so doing, God is glorified in our lives. Christ was born of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He became like us in all things except sin. He suffered, died, and rose from the dead, and through him we have redemption. When he was done with his work on earth, he ascended to the Father, and with the Father he sends us the Holy Spirit to be with us till the end of time. The Holy Spirit teaches, sanctifies, and guides us, and he reveals to us the mysteries of God's love. As partakers in the oneness of the Triune God, we have access to the grace of God, which enables us to work for the glory of God in our lives. The love of God cannot be felt in our communities without us. The salvific plan of God makes sense when it enables us to endure all kinds of hardship and suffering. Therefore, the Trinitarian relationship celebrated on this Sunday makes us see the importance of walking together in harmony and love. May the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts. Through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
Father Hilary Munyaneza, Father Enobong Udaidion contributed to the program. I am Father Paul Samasumo. Do stay tuned in for our bulletin of church news and later, the world around us, all about our environment. Pope Leo XIV on Saturday appealed to the authorities in Iran and Israel to act with reason. His call came after an exchange of airstrikes between the two countries killed masses of people and sent civilians into shelters.
The Holy Father's appeal called on both nations to pursue dialogue. The Holy Father made this a strong appeal when he addressed participants in the Jubilee of Sports in St. Peter's Basilica at the Vatican. Linda Bodoni has this report.
As the military confrontation between Israel and Iran continues to kill and injure people and to cause damage, Pope Leo XIV launched an appeal to both sides to step back from war and engage in dialogue for the common good. Speaking during an audience for the Jubilee of Sport in St. Peter's Basilica, he said, "No one should ever threaten another's existence."
Nessuno dovrebbe mai minacciare l'esistenza dell'altro.
In these days, news continues to arrive that causes great concern, the Pope said. The situation in Iran and Israel has seriously deteriorated.
La situazione in Iran e Israele in
and at such a delicate moment, I wish to strongly renew an appeal to responsibility and reason.
Alla responsabilità e alla ragione.
The Pope also upheld the need for the commitment to building a safer world, a world free from the nuclear threat that, he added, must be pursued through respectful encounters and sincere dialogue in order to build a lasting peace founded on justice, fraternity and the common good.
Sulla giustizia, sulla fraternità.
It's the duty of all countries, he concluded, to support the cause of peace by initiating paths of reconciliation and promoting solutions that guarantee security and dignity for all.
E dignità per tutti.
The escalation of violence began when Israel launched a series of strikes targeting Iran's nuclear program on Friday. Tel Aviv claims that among the victims are 9 Iranian nuclear scientists and experts. Tehran says that among the 60 people killed, there are at least 20 children and many women. Iranian missile launches in Israel, meanwhile, have killed at least 3 people and wounded dozens more. Meanwhile, Iran on Saturday said that it is still undecided about participating in the scheduled nuclear negotiations with the US in Oman on Sunday, in view of Israel's attacks. It claims those strikes were conducted with Washington's approval and therefore render negotiations with the US meaningless. And as Iran warns it will target UK, US and French military bases in the region if those countries offer Israel assistance, the British Prime Minister on Saturday said he is working closely with the UK's allies to support a diplomatic resolution to the crisis. I'm Linda Bordoni.
The Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, on Saturday resumed the special Saturday Jubilee audiences initiated by Pope Francis at the beginning of the year. Particularly on Saturday, Pope Leo welcomed participants in the Jubilee of Sports, who made a larger part of the Jubilee audience in St. Peter's Basilica. The event on June 14th was part of the larger Jubilee Year of Sport, which includes various activities focused on the intersection of faith and sports. The Jubilee of Sport actually aims to celebrate the values found in sports and their connection to hope, faith and community. In his catechesis for the Jubilee of Sport, the Holy Father looked to the second century saint Irenaeus, who came to Europe from Asia Minor after receiving the faith directly from the apostles. How good it is to remember this here in Rome, in Europe, the Pope said, recalling that the gospel was brought to the continent from outside and that even today, migrant communities are presences that revive the faith in the countries that welcome them. Pope Leo XIV then said Bishop Irenaeus could help us recognize how beautiful and relevant hope is today. However, he continued, Irenaeus has an even greater treasure to give us, showing by example how to overcome division by focusing more deeply on Jesus, whom he said is not a wall that separates but a door that unites us. Warning that even today ideas can drive us mad and words can kill, Pope Leo reminded the faithful that the flesh of Jesus must be welcomed and contemplated in every brother and sister, in every creature, and that we should hear ourselves called by name and by the pain of others. The Pope went on to describe St. Irenaeus as a teacher of unity, showing us not how to oppose but connect by looking to Jesus, who brings opposites together and makes communion possible. We are pilgrims of hope, Pope Leo said in conclusion, because, he explained, among individuals, peoples and creatures, someone must decide to move towards communion. He called on the faithful to build bridges where today there are wars, adding, "Let us open doors, let us connect worlds, and there will be hope." In the Democratic Republic of Congo, the Catholic bishops have denounced attacks against the public role of the Catholic Church made by the country's Deputy Prime Minister Jean-Pierre Bemba, who also doubles as Minister of Transport and Communication. In a press conference on 9th June, Bemba charged that the country's bishops were plotting to destabilize the government of President Felix Tshisekedi. And in a June 12th statement, the Congolese Catholic bishops say they are concerned about the fact that such baseless utterances from a senior government minister could jeopardize and undermine national cohesion and peaceful coexistence. Their statement affirms the fact that the Catholic Church in the Democratic Republic of Congo is faithful to its prophetic mission and therefore committed to promoting and defending peace in the land. Their message also urges the Catholic faithful to pray for Vice Prime Minister Jean-Pierre Bemba so that the spirit of peace may descend upon him. The prelates also call on the Congolese people not to succumb to manipulation, divisive or hateful rhetoric, and to remain vigilant, united and mobilized in order to preserve social cohesion. The National Episcopal Conference of Congo also expresses its disappointment about the fact that in the face of such serious accusations, the Prosecutor General at the Supreme Court, as well as the National Assembly, have not taken any interest in the minister's deceptive remarks. But notwithstanding the hostile nature of the accusations, the bishops say they continue to invoke the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary for peace to reign in the country. Meantime, Congolese rebels have said they want a peaceful solution to the crisis in the Democratic Republic of Congo. This is according to the head of the United Nations peacekeeping mission in that country, who has held talks with the Rwanda-backed rebels about protecting civilians in areas under their control in the east. Kelsey Gassi reports.
Speaking of the meeting, the UN Secretary General's Special Representative Binto Keita said the rebels spoke of wanting a peaceful solution to the crisis, which escalated in January with their capture of the major city of Goma. She said she brought a spirit of listening in exchange to the discussions in Goma on Friday. Little more detail has been released about the progress made at the summit. But in a short written statement, the UN Special Representative said the meeting was part of ongoing joint efforts, which had begun several months ago, for the benefit of the population, and that the meeting came at a critical moment. These were not the first UN-led talks since the takeover of Goma, but they are the highest profile. Earlier this year, the UN peacekeeping force, known as MONUSCO, was able to stop the rebel group advancing and seizing large swaths of territory from the Congolese army. M23 rebels attacked some MONUSCO peacekeepers. Since the start of this year, the M23 has made major advances in the mineral-rich east, including taking Goma in January. The conflict has led to the displacement of hundreds of thousands of civilians in the last few months, with thousands of people killed. Airports in the cities of Goma and Kavumu remain closed and livelihoods have been disrupted, with many civil servants and other workers not receiving their pay. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the World Around Us, news about our environment. I am Festus Tarawali. The 2025 United Nations Ocean Conference concluded on Friday in the French city of Nice, with more than 170 countries adopting a declaration committing to urgent action to conserve and sustainably use the ocean. The political declaration titled Our Ocean, Our Future, United for Urgent Action, calls for concrete steps to expand marine protected areas, decarbonize maritime transport, combat marine pollution, and mobilize finance for vulnerable coastal and island nations, among others. The declaration constitutes what is now known as the Nice Ocean Action Plan. Martina Donlon, spokesperson of the UN Ocean Conference, explains the three key takeaways from the Nice Summit.
Three takeaways from this UN Ocean Conference. Number one, it's a win for multilateralism. Over 170 countries just adopted by consensus a political declaration calling for urgent action to conserve and sustainably use the ocean. The vast majority of the countries of the world committing to action. Number two, I'd say it's a win for science. Over 2,000 scientists were gathering here the day before the conference and to make the point about the importance of science. And in the political declaration that was just adopted, there's a strong call for more investment in science. Number three, I would say, is it's a win for international law, because on the margins of this conference, there was a lot of talk about the Marine Biodiversity Treaty, which is a treaty to protect areas of the ocean that are under no single country's national jurisdiction. And that treaty got a big boost here in Nice with 19 additional ratifications, 20 more signatures, bringing us closer and closer to the entry into force of that key agreement to protect about two-thirds of the ocean that we so dearly depend on.
At the UN Ocean Conference in Nice this week, the UN Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, launched the most detailed global assessment of marine fish stocks to date. The review of the State of World Marine Fishery Resources 2025 reports on the biological sustainability of 2,550 individual fish stocks, a major increase from previous editions of the report. It confirms that 64.5% of all fishery stocks are exploited within biologically sustainable levels, with 35.5% of stocks classified as overfished. To commemorate 190 years of diplomatic relations between Colombia and the Holy See, the Pontifical Gregorian University in Rome hosted a forum on Wednesday together with the Colombian Embassy to the Holy See to present the Latin American Church's perspective on biodiversity and climate change. The forum was entitled Just Transitions, the Role of the Church in Shaping a Latin American Vision of Social, Economic, and Environmentally Sustainable Development. Speaking with Vatican News' Sebastian Sanson Ferrari, director of the Gregorian University, Jesuit Father Mark Andrew Lewis explained how the university is working to build on the mission of this forum on a practical level.
How is the Pontifical University working to promote human rights and also to respect this ecological transition?
So this event today obviously is focusing on the issues that touch the Amazon and Colombia. But also tomorrow we have another celebration of Laudato Si in our Faculty of Social Science, where we have the observatory, participate in the observatory. And we have as well a diploma that we teach here in integral ecology, which is a sort of a popular education, not so much the academic high degrees, but is a practical kind of diploma. What can catechists do to teach the young people about environmental awareness and ecology? What can teachers do to bring to the classroom? What can people do personally in their own lives? And I think that practical impact is very important. It seems to me that's an important part of what Laudato Si and Francis's papacy, but even before the Church, is trying to think of ways that can have a positive but practical impact on the environment.
And to conclude, what is your main dream towards the future if we look the situation of the world, the ecological disasters? What is your main dream?
I think one of the things when I was young, we had the ecology movement in the 1970s, and one of the things I learned from that, and I continue to keep, is that we need sustainable development. We need sustainable ideas, because to do something that nobody can do, that's not practical, is useless. But to find ways that everyone can do something and to think about it and be conscious of their contribution to our common home. I think that's the key element of Laudato Si, is we all have to take care of our home.
That was Jesuit Father Mark Andrew Lewis, rector of the Gregorian University in Rome. He was speaking there to Sebastian Sanson Ferrari of the Spanish program of Vatican Radio. And that's all for this edition of The World Around Us, News About Our Environment. Till the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali.
This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and I am Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetu Jesus Christus.